Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Then he came and touched the bier, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus presented him to his mother. I think that everyone has a sense of the difficulties that we are going through right now in so many ways, and not least our fellow Americans in the Carolinas. This past week, I heard a brief sermon in which the preacher chose to focus on just one sentence, a sentence that comes from nearly 1,000 years ago, from a Christian in Germany by name of Bruno. And the saying is this: while the world revives, the cross stands firm. While the world revolves, the cross stands firm. I recommend that saying to you to keep in your mind and in your heart as the days unfold. While the world revolves, the cross stands firm. Every Sunday, as we know, is a celebration of Jesus' resurrection. That's why we're here on Sunday morning, because it was on this first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. The gospel for this Sunday directs our thoughts clearly to the theme of the resurrection. But of course, resurrection involves what comes before. In his catechism, Dr. Luther explains the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, "But deliver us from evil," with these words: "We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor. And finally, when our last hour has come, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this vale of tears to himself in heaven." And so every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we finally are praying for a blessed end. Now, some people today might think this is very morbid, but Christians in the past did not find anything morbid at all by the remembrance of our last hour. Like the church fathers before him, Luther, in his catechism, then encourages us to reflect on our last end. And yet I suggest that so much of life as it is in fact lived, as we in fact experience it, is marked by an effort to forget. And I sometimes think that so much of the noise and hurry of our age, the frenzied pursuit of wealth and pleasure of all kinds, the relentless entertainment, and what can perhaps only be called a fear of silence, is in some measure a way of forgetting, a distraction, a way of holding at bay that nagging awareness that in human affairs nothing is certain and that all must end. While the world revolves, the cross stands firm. What this dying world needs to hear, what you and I cannot in fact hear too often, is the joyful news of Christ's resurrection, which this day is prefigured in the raising of the son of the widow of Nain. Then Jesus came and touched the open coffin, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. It was that great teacher of the church, Cyril of Alexandria, who had this to say about Christ's words and deeds. Christ works this miracle not only by word of mouth, but also by touching the open coffin, so that you and I may know that the body of Christ has power to save mankind, because it is the body of him who is life. It is the flesh of him who is the almighty word of God the Father, who gives life to all things, who banishes death. Yet this young man raised from the dead by Jesus did in fact later die, as did all those whom our Lord raised from the dead. And the reason for that is that he and they had been raised only to new life in this world, this age, this time. You see, Jesus' resurrection is infinitely more wonderful and glorious, because Jesus didn't simply return to life in this dying world. In rising, he overcame death. He passed beyond the dying world into the never-ending glory of the world to come. Here in Jesus' resurrection, we see the beginnings of the new heaven and the new earth, the presence in this world of that kingdom which is yet to come, and where sorrow and sighing and death shall be no more. To be sure, Jesus' tomb was empty. His disciples actually saw and even touched him. But Jesus' body was now wondrously glorified and transformed, no longer subject to the limitations of space and time. And this is something that goes beyond our understanding. The mind cannot fully fathom, nor the words express, the miracle of Jesus' resurrection. And so also will be our resurrection at the last day. The mind cannot fully fathom it, no words can express it. St. Paul, in writing to the Christians at Corinth, says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. For this perishable nature must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" St. John, the beloved disciple, puts it even more simply when he writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, but it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And this is that living and great hope which brightens every dark and dreary day and increases the joy of all our days of gladness and rejoicing. While the world revolves, the cross stands firm. And so we, together with all our loved ones now resting in paradise, await that last and great day when the risen Lord will surely come again to raise us to the life eternal and the joy everlasting of which the sacrament we are about to receive is the pledge and the foretaste, because this sacrament is the body of him who is life, the flesh of him who is the Almighty Word, who gives life to all things. And to him, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father.